Luke chapter 9, and we're going to be reading today the first 10 verses there. And we're going to talk today about summons to serve. How many has ever received a summons before? Aren't those blessings? No. I agree with that, Brad. No. But this one can be a blessing. But it's also, you know, one of the things that I realize when somebody summons you, you don't have the option to say no. You don't have the option there when you get a summons. That is your duty to serve. And if you don't do what the summons says, you're going to be held in contempt. You're going to be held in trouble if you do not obey what it says. And so God is giving us a summons here. He had his disciples. He had been talking with them. He'd been walking with them. And this is really getting close to a shift in the Gospel of Luke. He is getting ready to shift gears here and move towards the different directions. And he had been working with his disciples for a long time. He had been working with them on a regular basis. They had been with him now for over a year, and probably getting close to 2 years. And this is the first time that he begins to say, okay, I'm going to summon you together, and then I'm going to send you out. I'm going to summon you, and then I am going to send you. And so we find here in this passage of Scripture, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning reading with verse 1. Would you all stand in honor of God's Word this morning, please? Luke 9, beginning with verse 1. Summon the 12. He gave them power and authority over all the demons and power to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road, he told them. No walking stick, no traveling bag, no bread, no money. And don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. If they do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. Herod the Tetrarch heard about everything that was going on. He was perplexed because some said that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, some that Elijah had appeared, and others that one of the ancient prophets had risen. I beheaded John, Herod said, but who is this I hear such things about? And he wanted to see him. Then the apostles returned. They reported to Jesus all that they had done. He took them along and withdrew privately to a town called Bethsaida. Let's pray. Father, I ask you that you'd preach through me this morning. God, give me your anointing to proclaim your word one more time. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this service today. God, change our lives through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We find here in God's word today that he summoned us to serve as well. He summoned his disciples, and means he called them together, and he gave them a commission. He gave them a word to share. And I want to tell you what, you and I are his disciples today. You and I are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has called us, and he has summoned us. He has given us a word, and with that word comes power. The summons carries with it power. When Jesus calls his disciples out, he gave them a power. Another passage that would be a synoptic gospel of that says that he filled them at that time with the Holy Spirit. And with that comes power. Power. You see, when you're summoned to serve, it's not to do it on your own ability, on your own might. You are to do it under his power and under his authority. Do you realize that when you are serving Jesus, when he has summoned you to serve, that you do that under his authority? He says in the Gospel of Matthew, that we know as the Great Commission, that he says, all power has been given to me. And then he says, I give it to you. You have all power. And I want you to know the task that God has laid out for you, the thing that God wants you to do. He gives you everything that you need to go do it. He gives you all the authority and He gives you all the power that you need to accomplish the work that God wants you to do. Aren't you glad that He does that? That He gives you the power and He sends us to serve. He sends us to serve. I was looking for a towel that I had and that I have somewhere. Again, it took me 4 years to put up a garage door opener in my garage. I still have stuff that's been stored away since I moved from Illinois up here several years ago. And one of the things that I was searching for this week and didn't find it, I know it's in my office somewhere there in one of the boxes, and I didn't take time to unpack them all. But it's a towel. And it says, Brother Ken, his servant. A towel. Why a towel? Because a towel is a symbol of servitude. You see, the disciples one day was complaining about, who's going to be the greatest? Am I going to be the greatest or am I going to be the greatest? And Jesus picks up a towel, takes off his outer garment, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. He begins to serve them. And he said, let me tell you a lesson. The greatest one of you will be a servant. And that's a visible reminder for me of the servant. He sends us to serve. You know, as I prayed last week as I was away, as I prayed this week as I was here, coming back to service. That's the reason why that when I signed a letter, I signed it His servant. Because God has called me to serve. God has called you to serve. He has summoned me to serve, and He has summoned you to serve. You may never have gotten your paper yet, but I want you to know that when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, there comes a point in time when He says, okay, I want you to serve me. And not maybe preaching, maybe in some other area. It may be helping in some other area that you'll never be seen or never be heard from. That's okay if that's where God wants you to be. We are sent on kingdom business. It's not my business, it's His business. We are sent on kingdom business. And that's one thing that God reminded me of, and that God reminds me of right now. It's about kingdom business. It's not my business, it's His business. It's kingdom, it's His kingdom. It's not my kingdom, it's His kingdom. I get to be part of it. You see, serving Him, when you're summoned to serve, you are summoned and you've given power, you're given authority to serve. You're part of the kingdom. That's the reason why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Your kingdom. It's about His. It's not about my kingdom. And you know, as God moves the orchard forward, as we grow, as God moves our body forward, as we reach more people and more people and more people, God at some point in time will allow us to have a building. Amen. I really believe that God is moving us that direction. I don't know exactly when or how. There's some things that are happening that I could share with you, and I will share with you later. But I want you to know, as God moves us, but God's given us a place to meet right now, and we can be thankful for that. But as we move forward, it's not about building a building for our kingdom. If we choose to build a building one of these days, it will be for His kingdom. It'll be for His glory and for His honor, not for us. We are sent on kingdom business. You know, I can't get away from this either. We're sent to heal the sick. Our world's changing. Have you noticed that? Our world's changing rapidly, and I don't know what's going to happen with the healthcare system. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Don't be scared. God's in control. I don't know where you stand in all the political stuff right now, but there's some things happening that right now that frightens this preacher on the flesh. But my hope is not in Barack Obama or anybody else. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think, folks, if you look back to the history of healthcare, you'll find that the healthcare was taken care of by the church. And because of some of the things that happened in our modern culture and postmodernism, it happened that the shift has moved away from the churches. If you look at a lot of the hospitals, especially where I grew up at, there was the Baptist Hospital, Wilburn Baptist Hospital. There was St. Mary's Hospital. And I spent a few days in Good Samaritan Hospital in Mount Vernon with knee surgery. And the health care was taken care of. St. Francis Hospital. And then there was the Methodist Hospital. Had all these hospitals, but the shift was away from. There may come a time again when the healthcare gets shifted back to the church. But I know that God is telling us right here in His Word that He says you're to go out and heal the sick. Does God still heal sick people? Yes. Can God heal you today? Can God take care of my mitral? I'm not saying that right, but that valve in there that's that's amazing. But anyway, that valve in there that's not working quite right and has become calcified, you know what? He can take and just scrape that calcification away. And He may have already done it, and I believe that. But I want you to know, God is still in the healing business. I've seen people, folks, I've seen people who had a mass of cancer, and then when they went and got ready to do surgery, they went to hunt for it, and it was gone. My God still heals. He can do it supernaturally. And He can do it through doctors if He wants to. Or He can do it some other way if He wants to. But my God is still in the healing business. And He has given that to us. You say, boy, you went from Baptist to Pentecostal. No, I'm just talking the Bible, okay? It's not Baptist, Pentecostal, or charismatic. I'm just telling you, this is what the Word of God says, and I'm going to believe the Word of God. And not only can God heal the sick, but God can heal the sick and the brokenhearted. God can heal the ailments that you have today, whatever they may be. He supplies us while we serve. And I love that, folks. He supplies us while we serve Him. If you're serving Jesus Christ, be assured He's going to supply everything that you have need of. And that's one thing that God showed me, that He's going to supply and take care of my needs. He was specific. When He called them, He was specific what not to take. First of all, He said, don't take your walking stick. How many of us have a walking stick at home? I have a cane, too, besides this. But KJ made this for me last year. And I tell you what, their presents are special. And this is one of my special presents here. It's got his initials there around it. It's got the date there, 2008, on there. And walking sticks were very helpful in that day and time. Walking sticks were used for a lot of different things. It helped you steady you as you walked. It was kind of like a third leg for you as you walked along. And so walking sticks could be used to help you steady you. And a lot of times they'd have a bag tied to it there, so it kind of looked like that. Walking sticks was also used. Sorry, Paula. But anyway, walking sticks was used for protection. I mean, you could wallop somebody pretty good with a walking stick. And you could reach out and touch somebody from a distance with your walking stick. And so walking sticks was used as a protection. Walking sticks was also used to if there was a little crawly varmint in the middle of the road, you could kick it out of the way with that. Walking sticks was there basically one of the main weapons that they had in that day and time. And God was saying to the disciples, I'm sending you out two by two, and when you go, I'm going to be your protection. I'm going to be your protector. You don't need anybody else. You don't need your walking stick. I'm going to stabilize you, and you're going to go wherever I send you, and you're not going to need any other protection than me. What kind of protection are you looking for today? What kind of security are you looking for? Are you looking for security in Wall Street? Are you looking for security in other areas? I want to tell you what, the only security that you really need and the only protection you really need is the security of Jesus Christ. That He's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you no matter where you go. If you're on His kingdom business, if He's sent you, if He's summoned you and sent you, He's going to protect you as you go. You may be facing things, well, I don't know if I want to face this. That's okay. God will protect you if He's called you. He said, don't take any bag, traveling bag with you as you go. Don't take your traveling bag. I want you to know this bag was given to me in Atlanta, Georgia. It was given in November of 2007. And this bag probably has close to 150,000 miles on it right now. This bag very seldom ever is unpacked. About the only time it's unpacked is to clean the clothes that are in it, which is needful every once in a while, and to repack it and send it. It's got some neat stuff in there. I've got about a week's worth of medicine because I usually forget it when I take a trip. And it's got a card in there. It's got hundreds of sent away bar of soap. It's got deodorant in there. Yeah, amen. God is good, isn't He? But God said, guys, don't take your traveling bag with you. I want you to know I'd be lost when I went someplace if I didn't have my traveling bag, my toothpaste. I thought about that. Did you think about that? If they're not taking their traveling bag, where's their toothpaste and their toothbrush? I don't know. Maybe they use their fingers. That's something you don't really want to borrow when you go to somebody's house. You don't go through their medicine cabinet. Let me use your toothbrush. Excuse me. I don't know why I got off on that. Lord. He said, don't take your traveling bag. He said, I'm going to be your security. And I'm going to be your provision. I'm going to take care of your daily necessities. You know, and the traveling bag was things that would help you get through life. He said, not only that, he said, don't take any bread with you either. He said, don't take any bread with you. It's got too many carbs in it. Excuse me. But in that day and time, bread was a staple of life. You know, when we were pouring concrete one day, and the guy was there, and Andrew said, hey, you want some bread? And the guy looked at us like, no, I don't want any bread. What she was asking was from a hot loaf of bread that just come out of the oven. What he was thinking of is the sliced bread. Why would I just want a piece of bread? You see, and our society's changed it. You can live without bread today. But in that day and time, that was the staple of life. You carried your bread with, and it's still that way in a lot of other countries today. You know, we've made the bread white, and we've taken all the good things out of it and added a lot of preservatives in it so it'll have a long shelf life. There's one guy who said, the whiter the bread, the quicker you're dead. But, but in that day and time, the bread was the staple of life. If you had bread, you had something you could live on. And even though I had a lot of, probably didn't have quite the carbohydrates and all the bad stuff that ours has in it today, but the bread was their staple of life. And he said, I'm going to take care of your hunger. You see, I'm going to take care of your deepest need while you're there. And by the way, if you don't have anything to eat, that soon becomes your deepest need. That soon becomes your greatest concern. He said, your greatest concern is not your protection. Your greatest concern is not your travel bag. Your greatest concern is not your bread. He said, the greatest concern is not the money that you have. He said, the greatest concern that you have is not your money. He said, leave your money at home. I've done that before because I didn't have any. But he said, don't worry about it. Don't take the money that you can use to purchase things while you're out there on the road. Now think about that. How many's ever taken a trip and didn't take any money with you? besides me. Luke, like father, like son. Anybody else? How many's ever taken a trip and didn't take any money with you when you went on the trip? Fred, you have? Yeah. It's kind of scary. Yeah, there's been times I prayed, God, get me to the gas station. But I have money to. He said, don't worry about your money. He said, totally rely on me. Don't take your walking stick. Don't take your travel bag. Don't take your bread. Don't take your money. And don't even take an extra shirt. How long were they gone? They were gone for a while and you don't even take an extra shirt. How many of you have more than one change of clothes? How many of you have two changes of clothes? Do you realize that right now that you're more wealthy than over 50% of the people who live in the world today? Because you have more than two changes of clothes? You go to some other countries and you'll see them wearing the same thing every day. And they're clean. And for the most part, they smell good. Some places they don't, but I've been around. He said, don't even take another shirt with you when you go out. And not only does that bag go with me when I go on trips, but that bag goes with me about every day. Because I'm always spilling something on my shirt. So don't worry about it. I am going to take care of your basic everyday need. And folks, when you're serving Him, you can trust that He'll take care of you. He was specific about where they were to stay. He said, you go into a place and if they don't accept you, don't stay there. Don't force yourself. And when you stay there all the time that you're there. And when you leave, if the people in that town didn't receive you, shake the dust off your feet, shake the dust off and be a symbol against them that they've rejected God. But I'm going to tell you what. He saves people by using our service. That's what He was about. When He sent them out, it wasn't just to heal the sick. He was sending them out to advance the kingdom. He was sending them out to save people from a destiny. He was saving them from hell. He was going out and changing people's lives. He said, I'm sending you out. I'm summoning you together. I'm summoning you and sending you out right now. You've been summoned. And now I'm sending. I'm going to supply everything that you have need of. And when you're out there serving, and I want to tell you what, by your serving me, by you doing what I've called you to do, I'm going to save people's lives. I'm going to rescue people. When you're traveling a lot and you're driving, occasionally you get to see things that you really don't want to see. You know, I was traveling here not too long ago, coming back up here, and I saw an accident. And I saw the EMTs, and I saw them working with a person alongside the road. As I saw him working with that person alongside the road, they were trying to save that person's life. Because that person's life was worth saving. They were feverishly working on him. I could see, and because I'm a gawker when I go by, I guess, and nosy, I could see them doing CPR on the guy. And I knew that they were feverishly trying to save a life. Because a life was perishing, because a life was the air had been taken out of him and the heart was not beating and there was no air in the lungs and they were trying to put their air and their compressions to keep that person alive. And folks, God will use you and God will use me to serve Him. And when we're serving Him, He allows us to see lives saved. Wow. God wants to do that with you. And God wants to do that with me. You've been summoned to serve. Your summons has been issued today, right now. Now it's time that you serve His kingdom. I've committed myself afresh and anew to serving Him, His kingdom, and this body. Now it's your turn. The commitment that you would make today, mark that on the communication card. I am committed to serve. I've been summoned, and I take that summons seriously. I'm going to serve. Stand with me this morning.